Light in this present darkness, this is Abounding Grace. Stumbling about in the darkness? Join us now for a time of light in the Word with Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, we're thankful you've tuned in for this session of Abounding Grace. We're concluding our study today of this section in 1 Corinthians 5, where the Apostle Paul is challenging and calling this church to discipline a certain member who had fallen into grievous sin. And we've looked at the importance of discipline, the purpose of discipline. And it's interesting today that we come to a verse that's probably one of the most challenging in the Bible, difficult to fully grasp the implications of, where the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 5, "In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you're gathered together, along with my spirit, with the power of the Lord of our Lord Jesus Christ, deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus." Powerful verse. What's interesting is that he doesn't say, deliver him over for eternal destruction. He says, the destruction of the flesh. Now, this is what we looked at yesterday. In the church, you have a certain shield and protective element of being in the family of God, in the visible kingdom, where you have care of members and love and nurture and fellowship and the blessings of being a member of Christ's church. But here, Paul is saying, as you excise one from that protection, they are then cast into, back into the realm of darkness where the devil holds sway. But he says there's for what is the goal? The destruction of the flesh. Paul views that, and I have no other way of looking at this other than to say that Paul views that as the possibility of opening up good for the sinner. Now, that's in contrast to what? Doing nothing. And doing nothing is what we typically think is showing love, not saying anything, not confronting sin, just saying nothing, right? That's not love, my friends. That is the worst thing you could do to somebody's soul. Say nothing. Paul is saying the church needs to actively exercise the key of discipline for the destruction of the flesh. So that may be an illness, a life trauma, whatever it is. And we don't know here exactly what that will manifest itself like. Life's going to get hard. He's not going to be able to sit idle in his sin. If the Lord goes through and decides to put him through severe chastening, it is with the goal of drawing out repentance. And that is what the apostle sees as the benefit and the possibility for deliverance of these people. In fact, Paul said this in 1 Timothy 1. He talked about certain people concerning the faith who have suffered shipwreck, of whom are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I delivered to Satan that they may learn not to blaspheme. So it goes like this. Turn the man over to Satan, back into the world, that he may reap the full consequences of his sin. Whatever destruction that sin is going to bring to his flesh, he's going to receive the full consequences of that, along with a distressing estrangement from the care and embrace of the church. The church is to excise. The church is to cut off the sinner. That's why Paul says in the next section, don't even keep company with them. In other words, their life, by doing this in their life, God may have mercy upon the sinner as the church honors his name in purging out the leaven from among them. So we look at 1 Corinthians 5, my friends, and I see mercy written all over this. When the keys are exercised, the Lord may honor that. The Lord may honor what was done, and of course he's going to honor it either way, but the Lord may actually draw out repentance. May actually draw out repentance in this sinner. Grant him repentance unto salvation. And that's the goal. If that's not done, the consequences are huge. Not only is the name of Christ dragged through the mud as the church just allows people to continue in their sin without calling them to repentance, Not only is the whole church put in danger by now having leaven among them, but now you've done nothing to go after and save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. So we could say that resulting in doing nothing might result in eternal condemnation. So a church that lets its members continue in sin, they do the most unloving, cruel, brutal thing to someone's life they could ever do by doing nothing. You know, so that is the whole principle here. By excommunicating, there's the real possibility that the soul will be saved before the final judgment. And that's the most merciful and that's the most loving thing we could do, even though it's the most painful. That much is at stake. So what happened here in this account? What happened to this man in Corinth who had his father's wife? The church in Corinth honored what the apostle said. They excommunicated this man. The majority did. Didn't mean it was fully agreed upon. It was probably a painful process. But something happened, my friends, in 2 Corinthians 2. We need to listen to. He says in 2 Corinthians 2, verse 5, "But if anyone has caused grief, he's not grieved me, but all of you to some extent, not to be too severe. This punishment, which was inflicted by the majority, is sufficient for a man, so that on the contrary, you ought rather to forgive and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one be swallowed up with too much sorrow." Who is that? Some have suggested it's a whole different person. That's just not right. You'll notice Paul refers to himself here. In other words, he acknowledges that there was an offense against him in this whole situation. And in verse 10, he's forgiven that man of it. What happened? In 1 Corinthians 5, something had happened. Paul had said to the church, you need to excommunicate this man. Remember what I said earlier in the week? A church has a choice when they're faced with dealing with sinning members to make a judgment according to the word of God or do nothing. What happens when you do something? People lash out. Putting this together, what happened most likely is that in the first letter, Paul had admonished them to discipline him. They did, and the man attacked Paul. His credibility, his authority, whatever it was a vicious attack for suggesting that this man should be held accountable for his sin. The church did it. They went ahead and did the painful deed of excommunicating him. And what happened? He repented. He saw the error of his ways. And Paul says, look, he's not grieved me, but all of you to some extent. That's what happens when things break open in the body. The whole body is affected. And it caused a lot of anguish in the church. But what's Paul's attitude here, my friends? The goal was met. He repented. Christ was merciful to him. The goal of discipline and excommunication is restoration. Paul says the punishment you as the church inflicted upon him in delivering him over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh was sufficient. Yes, he was cast into that realm. Yes, his life fell apart, and God awoke him to the sense of his need and granted him repentance. And what does Paul say? I know that's caused you anguish, but now that the goal has been met, since the goal is restoration, Paul says, forgive him, comfort him, lest he be swallowed up with too much sorrow. In other words, look at him. He's broken. Look at the grief that was brought on him by what you did. Now you need to come alongside him and forgive him. My friends, there are always Pharisees in the life of the church who will just never forgive someone's past. How could the elders let him back in? How could we let a self-righteous hypocrite in? And Paul says, I urge you, reaffirm your love to him. For to this end I also wrote that I might put you to the test, whether you are obedient in all things. Now whom you forgive anything, I also forgive. For if indeed I have forgiven anything, I have forgiven that one for your sakes in the presence of Christ, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. He says, if they repent, you have to forgive, because the devil works the opposite way. The price of unforgiveness is high. In other words, unforgiveness produces bitterness and anger and hatred and retribution. People who don't forgive keep the pain alive, as one pastor said, picking at it like an open wound to keep it from healing. Unforgiveness imprisons people in their past. And Paul closes this by saying, we are not ignorant of Satan's devices. Meaning, on the one extreme, a church can be unfaithful in avoiding discipline altogether, and this just goes on all the time today. And the devil's right there in that. But on the other extreme, when sin is confronted and the person repents, there can be a harsh, merciless, graceless, careless, unloving response to receive him back. And Satan is right there in that too. That's one of his devices too. So Jesus said 70 times 7, you need to forgive. So you don't give the devil an advantage. My friends, look at the outcome today. This man repented. The church excommunicated him and he repented. He changed. As Paul later writes, there are those who are taken captive by Satan to do his will in the church, but God has the power to grant them repentance so that they would come to know the truth. As the church faithfully exercises the keys of the kingdom, the preaching of the gospel, and discipline, the most beautiful thing can occur. That sinner cast into Satan's realm can actually be pulled back by God himself and spared from eternal condemnation. That makes discipline, my friends, in a sense, yes, painful, yes, hard, yes, sober, yes, the most difficult thing you will face in the life of the church, but beautifully Christ-honoring and the most effective way of pursuing running sinners. I mean, that's what Jesus said. He talked about leaving the 99 and going after the wandering sheep. How does he do that? He does that with means, and he does that through his church today. So at the end of the day, discipline always has as its goal restoration. It's my prayer today that you would understand the purpose for this, because too much is at stake. Wouldn't it be far worse for a church to neglect this today and then to find out on Judgment Day that the souls they never called to repent from their wayward ways were cast into hell right before their eyes because church leaders were negligent, saying, let's love at all costs, the cost of a soul? 1 Corinthians 5:8 says, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. May the love of Christ compel us. Having these promises from him, sure promises, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Well, that's Abounding Grace today, and I do want to invite you to join us for worship at the Linden URC, 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. on the Lord's Days. Also, I'm speaking at a conference in Canada on April 8 and 9. April 8 at the Langley Canadian Reformed Church on evangelism, 7:30 p.m. And April 9 at 7:30 p.m. at the Abbotsford Canadian Reformed Church. You can call us 360-318-0429 for more details. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.